and authority fatto, of grazie, your name and your
e continuo ancora a farci grazie questa you, sera di conoscerti sempre di più.
Grant us grace to know you, and you continue to grant us grace. Be with us and continue with us. Our desire is to know you more and more, and to draw near you to sanctification and toward the unity of the Spirit. You are the only one who can do it, and you know our heart, you know our needs, you know. And everything is under your control. You are our Father, and you are our God. You redeem our hearts when we are still in the world. You know us, and you still know us. Bless this evening, sanctify the word, sanctify the one who will speak, and those who are listening. Are we listening? Yes, Lord. May your blessing be in our midst for us to receive everything from you. Once more tonight, we are united under one head and one authority. We thank you. To you belongs honor and glory. Even though all this trials or difficulties around us, may you reach the hearts where they are found, and may you exhaust each prayer. Thank you for everything. We give you honor and glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless our heart. It's true that we are going to pass in the yellow zone. We cannot go out of the area or go out of the region. Because things are not clear yet, 100%. The brother speaks about Corona. Let us read and may the Lord lead our thoughts and our hearts to the fullness of the revelation. It's necessary to have the fullness of the revelation through the Spirit, and to understand what the Lord wants to tell us. I read a circular letter, 25 February 1981. The Lord has chosen us, and He will lead us to perfection. One day, the accuser of the brethren will be thrown down. Revelation 12, from 7 to 12. After the troop of the overcomers, there are some mistakes in the Italian translation because the brother translated himself, then he forgot to translate a word here. After the troop of overcomers in Italian was translated as society, after the troop of the overcomers has been taken up, the Lord continues to speak to Zechariah, and He says, "Is not this a firebrand plucked out of the fire?" The accusation was justified, but not in every eye, not in the eye of God. Joshua stood there to fulfill his office, and on that occasion Satan wanted to finish him off. However, the Lord commanded him to be silent. The Lord commands all, even today, to keep silent, to strike their chest and to examine themselves in the light of God. Let us go in Zechariah chapter 3. So we will have the context of what Brother Frank want to explain here. The main subject is marriage and divorce. Let us go in Zechariah. We already spoke about this word here in Zechariah. For this reason, God has to grant us grace to watch over one another and to be submitted to the word of God and not to give ourselves to our thoughts. We need a discernment to understand the right thing. Otherwise, the devil will always accuse, as we see here. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garment and stood before the angel. Hallelujah. One thing that I'd like to highlight here. During all this century, in the seven church ages, the only age wherein the word of God was fully revealed is the age of Laodicea. The word was put back in the candlestick. In different church ages, they were still influenced by the mother church, the Catholic Church, but today everything was brought back to the candlestick. For this reason is important, the messenger of this age brought the right light, and he brought clarity in all things. And for this reason, we read before that the Lord command all, even today, to keep silent, to strike their chest and examine themselves in the light of God. We have to put ourselves under judgment, the church itself. Then we read other passages and we continue to read. What is said afterwards sound like the most marvelous proclamation of the gospel. The angel answered and said to those who stood before him, "Take off his filthy garment." However, that was not all. From that moment on, Satan, the accuser, was to come back empty-handed. So the Lord went on and said to Joshua, "Behold, I take away your iniquity from you and clothe you in raiment." Is wonderful. If we could just enter with the Spirit of God to understand what God has said at in this last age, cleaning everything and letting us out of the slavery of the devil. I'd like to read Matthew chapter 7, it is important to read the passages of the scripture. Matthew 7, verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? That what still today takes place in the church of the message. We can say it like this. Let us read also 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Then we'll see how the Lord will lead. We read from from the end of verse 9. Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioner shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. You see, Joshua was there before the angel, and the accuser of the brethren was there to accuse him. He was there to show that Joshua was wrong. Then also we read in Romans chapter 5, we read it also on Sunday, Brother Gianfranco. From verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Is something already done and already fulfilled, and God cannot remove it anymore, is there. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. You see, as the word of God was quickened during this last age, last church age, and the word finds its fulfillment in the children of God. Let us read also Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, I believe. Come, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, say the Lord. Thou your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Thou they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. If be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of good of the land. Also, Romans 8:29 is another passage that we know. Romans chapter 8, verse For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and who he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. This is a wonderful word related with Zechariah chapter 3 verse 2. For this reason, most of the time we better be silent than saying things which are not sure. Let us continue to read. It is certain that Satan could not tolerate that this man of God be clothed in new raiment. According to the word of God, the Lord will have a church without spot and wrinkle in those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb and clothed in the white garment of righteousness which God has given us, and this is the bride's garment. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 26. He presented to himself a bride without spot and wrinkle and blameless. It is true that it is said that Miriam became as white as snow, but leprosy, she could not keep silent. And by this, she provoked an uprising against Moses among all the people. Number chapter 12, verse 10. Even today, many are just as white as it was. Yet there is a group of priests who speak with God in intercession, having the blood of the Lamb before their eye and looking at Golgotha. Hallelujah. It's true. Some are white as the leprosy because some people are still murmuring and they keep speaking. It might be before you, right? But before God is not. For this reason, we have to be careful. Miriam, she was speaking against Moses, saying he could not take that woman, he could not take her like as a wife, and she was murmuring. In Matthew 23:27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You see how we can see a character of someone who's not born yet, is not born again yet, and is not yet part of the bride church. And today we still see this thing. May God help us and sanctify us through the word of God. Even so, on one side, there are people murmuring. In the other side, there is a reality. There are people walking with the Lord, walking with God. This and the intercession, having the blood of the Lamb before the high, so they are presenting the sacrifice. And they're saying, as you save me, you can still save this man and this woman. This is the troop of the redeemed who are clothed in fine linen garments shining white. And it is the troop that we want to belong. God wants us to be silent where he is silent and to say what he has said. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, 33. Here is clear. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that he risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Is a position of faith. It must be taken by faith in the word of God, the revealed word, because that is part of the restoration of the church, the restoration of the tree. There should not be an heart which is accused by Satan continuously. God has to grant us grace to be people of God. And we have to be restored by his grace. And also in Revelation is written, they won by the word of God. That's the only way to win or to overcome, through the word of God. Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. For this reason, we have to die and then be born again. To overcome, we have to be born again. If we are still alive, we cannot win. We want the Lord to win the battle for us. May God bless our heart. We continue to read. Paul, also in Jude, we see the Lord telling to the devil, to Satan, to be silent. Paul, stirred up by the Spirit, commanded the woman to be silent and said, as in all the churches of the saints, let the woman in the assemblies be silent. This is important. The brothers should take their position. I stop here a little bit. If brothers are not taking their position, the sister, which should not take a position, or the woman, will take that position. Hallelujah. It's important. She should stay where God put her. This is one of the tasks, said the Lord in his word. All the sisters shouldn't all the sisters recognize that Brother Branham, as a prophet of God at this time, had to say the same thing about equal rights and emancipation. It So, Brother Frank, enter fully in the spirit of the prophet, because people was calling him, was telling of him that he was someone against women. He did not say it out of pleasure, but on the basis of the vision and the constant inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He did it out of love, at his own expense and at the expense of his ministry, in order to help others. He been criticized by all, and all the churches were against him, telling that he was all against women. He always preached against women. He should tell us how to receive the Holy Ghost and things like this. That's what people were saying. We continue to read. Do we want to stand with God and not to be a spokesperson for the accuser? The one who in intercession perform a true priestly service is the one who stands at God's side, who will carry out his plan of salvation. The one who stay at God's side, on God's side, is not standing at a man's side or a brother's side, but at God's side, because you are not defending a man, you are not defending a brother, and the blessing of God will be upon you, will fall upon you. Let us continue to read the circular letter 29, June 1983. The body as a temple of the spirit. We finish with the part of accuser. It shows us that we should be silent, and the example of Miriam was given. Now we start with the body as temple of the spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For you know what precept we have given you from the Lord Jesus. What God wants is your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 2 and 3. The term fornication refers to a natural sexual relation with man or beast. Leviticus 18, 22 and 23. And Romans chapter 1, 24 to 28. You can read it when you will be home. This practice has its origin in the Garden of Eden, namely in the forbidden animal relationship that Eve had with the first serpent. Any unbridled and uncontrolled impulse is sickly and demonic. For this reason, God forbid those kind of relationship. God has severely condemned all adulterers and fornicators, and the cities in which fornication was committed have been destroyed without mercy, for they are an abomination to him. Jude verse 7. When he speaks about Sodom and Gomorrah. These cities, they were destroyed because of fornication and adultery. Whoever really wants to experience the sanctification of the Spirit must renounce all form of uncleanness, for it is written, "For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to sanctification." Whoever therefore rejects this commandment does not reject the man, but God, who has also given you his Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 to 8. Hallelujah. We read from verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despised not man, but God, who hath also given us unto his Holy Spirit. You see how God is jealous. God does not want uncleanness. He wants us to be saint, as he is saint. God calls us to this, to be in our mind, in our way of dressing, in our way of acting, to be saint. Sanctification is not just the outwardly appearance or the outward appearance, but is the inner one first. We continue to read the circular letter. Anyone who has read the scripture knows that in the most diverse situation, many men of God have fallen, but that under no circumstances can any of them be blamed for committing fornication. There was still confusion in all the churches, denomination churches. They were mixing everything, and many servants of God fell in a certain situation. Fell in certain situation and they've been rebuked. May God grant us grace. This last church age, God restored everything and he put everything at his place. Only the chosen one or the elect, whom is in spirit, can understand what God has done for this last age is something wonderful. Already before God gave the law, the servants of God knew what was right and what was wrong, even though it had not yet been written. Do you see in the Old Testament, the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, continuing with Joseph, the law was not there, it was not written, but they had it written in their heart. We can read it in Romans chapter 1. They had the free will, but in their free will, they chose to follow the obedience in the word of God. That's what they chose. It is also true that God predestinated them, but themselves, with their free will, they decided that they knew what was right and what was wrong, and they did not want to do what it was wrong. Even if sometimes they fell. For example, Abraham in Egypt, Isaac, and this is important. We read about Joseph, that he did not commit adultery. When Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce him at any price, he says, Joseph, and he has forbidden nothing to me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a great evil and sin against God? Genesis 39 verse 9. The word of God says about adultery, if a man commit adultery with a married woman, if he commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterers and the adulteress shall be put to death. The adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Leviticus 20 verse 10. Brother Branham said this law introduced by God is equally valid for believer and unbeliever. He mentioned a man who exercised the gift and had two children with a wife who was already married. Do you remember about this story? The discernment which God gave to Brother Branham when he started his ministry. In such cases, there can be no question of sanctification. Even if the anointing, pay attention here, even if the anointing of the Holy Spirit is present, we cannot speak about sanctification, because God knows the heart. We read different passages of scripture. God knows all things. Let us read in Matthew 7:21. What is sanctification, and how does the sanctification manifest in your life? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. You see, then here they will say, we have done this in your name, we have done this and that. Also, as what we just read, one was prophesying, another was giving the interpretation. But just the anointment was there. There was no sanctification, because one of them, he was a true believer, another one was, he was not. When there is sanctification, there is a changement of the heart of the man. We have also in James 1 verse 22, chapter 1. We all know these words, but they are going all together. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth that manner of the man he was. You see? Because the word does not stay in his heart. There's just the anointment for a moment, but the word does not remain there. Then he forgets all things, then he starts again. We can read also in Titus 1:16. You can read from verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. They profess God, but with their work they deny Him. They deny Him what they say with their mouth, by their works. This matter is serious. Because there is no parallelism between the word that one speaks and his life. For this reason, God has to grant us grace. Leviticus 29:20. We continue to read. In Leviticus 19:29 and other passage, the Lord forbids that a girl be profane by making her a prostitute. But this fornication is an unnatural relationship with man or animal. Every man who has relation today with one woman and tomorrow with another commits fornication. We must not put everything in the same basket. Precisely in our time, the Lord has given full clarity on all things. Some people would like, with regard to their body, to live according to their own sanctification. It's true. These words are precise and deep words. Some would like, with regard to their body, to live according to their own sanctification. And thus, having an exaggerated opinion of their own merits, saying that I'm the one doing it, I'm the one who sanctify myself. Then if you see within them there is something wrong. Is sanctification of soul, spirit and body pleasing to God can only be accomplished in bride souls. In bride souls, redeemed by the blood and baptized in the Spirit because they believe in the Word. Let us read it once more. Sanctification of soul, spirit, and body pleasing to God can only be accomplished in bride souls, redeemed by the blood and baptized in the Spirit because they believe the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. It has not to be the religious man of Sunday or the Sunday believer. It's hard saying, but sometimes we have the outward position of godly men. But inside is not really going together with what we're showing to people. And that's what I have experienced myself going to Krefeld with many brothers. What they have inside was not agreeing with what they were showing outside. We have not to be a Sunday believer. Look a little bit the Pope. The dress or the cloth which he put on, it seems like someone godly, someone pure, but God knows the heart. So what we have inside, a man can see it, but God sees inside. There are some situations when they arises, you say, oh, no, but inside you, there's something wrong. We should be what God wants us to be according to His word. Let us read in 1 Peter chapter 3 for us to see truly what is sanctification, or to deepen in sanctification. Here it speaks about women, but this verse is a key verse, and we understand what the Lord sees. Here it speaks to women. Romans chapter 1, 28 and 29. We understand what is the sanctification of God. Let us go in Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boastful, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breaker, and all these things. Then also verse 32. Let us go now in Romans 7. We read from verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is not more I that do it, but sin that do it. Then still today, if we have to be sincere and honest, it's necessary that what we speak or what we pronounce with our mouth, we live it. It's also true that in this world, that with our chief at work, at our workplace is difficult, but we have not to forget that the Bible says we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are out of this world. Psalm says, do not stay with the mockers. Do not sit with the mockers. Psalm chapter 1. And we continue to read. God sent a prophet who put all things in their right position and put the original meaning of the word of God back on the candlestick. I read it again because it's important. God sent a prophet who put all things in their right position and put the original meaning of the word of God back on the candlestick. Hallelujah. It's important that the changement comes to pass in your life, or takes place in your life. All the uncleanness which was brought with during the church ages During this last age, everything was cleaned up. They were put aside, removed. Don't you feel yourself involved in what God is doing today? We do not just receive the prophet of the last church age, but the word that he pronounced, that message to prepare the bride or to prepare the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As John Baptist was saying, a message is given to you. Matthew 17:16, Malachi chapter 4, 5, 6, Revelation 3 verse 14, the age of Laodicea. And for this reason, the Lord say to the overcomer, God gives us a possibility to say, I want to win. And who want to win? We read it before that sanctification is completed or fulfilled just in the bright soul, baptized with the Holy Spirit, because they believe the word of God. We continue to read. God has passed over the times of ignorance. Also here, be careful. The word say, the law admit not ignorance. What we read here, we find it in the book of Acts, verse 17. Yeah, chapter 17. Let us read and we continue. Where Paul testified of what God did. He testified of what God did because they had a statue of the unknown God, but then Paul has to intervene and explain them. He reads from verse 5. And the time of the ignorance God winked up, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. The time of ignorance is finished. The Lord visited his people, and the angel of the messenger of Laodicea came. He gave light upon all things which pertain to the past. So how should we not believe to the restoration of the tree? Let us continue to read. After Brother Branham, by virtue of divine revelation, has clearly and uninterpretedly set forth the state of man and woman from the biblical point of view, we can no longer take the teaching of religious morality as our criteria. So tradition, all these things, you cannot take them anymore. You have done this, so you cannot do this. You cannot be here. God has removed all these things. God cleaned everything and he put the word back to the candlestick. Hallelujah. It is wonderful when we read and we see these things, we say, Lord, truly you have granted us grace. you enlighten the eye of our heart. For many people, this subject is still unclear. Time and again, we are asked, can a divorced person take part in the Lord's Supper? Can he remarry? Can he preach? We have apparently not yet noticed that this notion of divorce does not appear once in the Bible. If anyone finds any indication of a divorced person in the Bible, let him come and read this passage to me. In the Holy Scripture, this word is not even found there. They are only indication for a separated woman. Never in the Bible is there any commandment or defense for a divorced person. It does not exist. It is not found at most in the precept and regulation of churches and communities that have their roots in Roman soil. They have their roots in Roman soil. Before God, man is never, under any circumstances, considered divorced. Because God does not accept it. Is true. Matthew 19 verse 6. Let us read it. Before God, divorce does not exist. If you are bound with your woman, you stay bound with her. For this reason is written, from the beginning it was not so. We started from verse 5. Or from verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and say, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. It was a permission. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso married her which is put away doth commit adultery. This is here. It's clear. You cannot delete it or remove it from here. Or the word of God is the word of God. What is written is written. We cannot change it. For this reason, God does not recognize divorce. In the ordinances or commandment of God, there is no word divorce. It's not written. As we also read, for the woman is important. Let's continue to read. Before God, man is never, under any circumstances, considered divorce. We read it, it's written. It is now a matter of removing the last remnant of Roman Catholic leaven and of testing ourselves to see if in all things we believe only that God says. The one who continues as if God had not spoken and who maintains all his non-biblical way of saying is that he has not really received the word of God in his heart. And because of this, he will not be able to experience sanctification. Hallelujah. Please consider this word. It's true and it's deep. It's important. I read it once more. The one who continues as if God has not spoken and who maintains all his non-biblical way of seeing is that he has not really received the word of God in his heart. And because of this, he will not be able to experience sanctification. Although many people claim to believe only the word, they are in fact upholding centuries of old traditions. Isaiah 48:20. This is important. We have to call things by their name. Also to have the revelation of what God is doing today or he did already. But to be restored, we have not to stay in our own thoughts with the root attached to the Roman soil. In this way, we cannot achieve sanctification in our lives, and we could not be separated to serve God. We'd be just a mixing, and we won't be free from the things which come from Babylon. When the Bible says, "Come ye out of Babylon," it's not just the body, but it's your heart, it's your soul, which has to be separated. Here, go ye forth of Babylon. Verse 4. Flee ye from Chaldean, with a voice of singing, declare ye. Tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob, and they thirsted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the water gushed out. There are many other scriptures in Jeremiah. So it's necessary to go out fully from Babylon, from the precept of Babylon. What maybe our fathers or our mothers taught us. All coming from the Romans traditions or roots. And they are not biblical. We continue to read. We must finally understand We must finally understand that God did not send his prophet in his time so that we would continue without further ado to maintain what had been taught in the previous generation. What a precise word and clear. And this circular letter, number 29 of June 1983, but you can still see how many accusations the man of God have received, also other man of God, because the because in many the heart was still attached to the Roman tradition. Many have still their heart attached to Roman roots and traditions. But we must understand that his service was intended to bring God's people out of Babylon and out of all tradition, to bring us back to the absoluteness of God's word. It was not in vain that the Lord came down on the cloud of the glory and spoke. Let us go in 1 Kings. You see how the word of God, either in the New or in the Old Testament, going together. Let's see what Elijah of the Old Testament did, and also what Elijah of our time did. How he restored the altar. He restored the altar. Verse, and Elijah 31 took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. The altar, the stone, were restored. Then we see how Elijah Elijah challenged them, challenged the other prophet, asking them, where is your God? Also, Brother Branham did the same thing when they accused him of different things. For this reason, he used to repeat John 14:12. And also Mark 16:16, by you do greater things than what I've done. The one who believe and accept to be baptized, here are the sign which will follow him. And here Elijah challenged them, the same Brother Branham, he challenged them in the same way, and they could not speak. When there was a meeting of the man of God against him, they made a trap to him, but God revealed him already everything, and he went there, he spoiled all of them, and he said, thus said the Lord, because they could not accept the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we see when Lord confirmed in verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And here the question was, you want to go with Baal or you want to come to God? And God has to prove that he was there with Elijah. That's what God did in this last generation. He proved that he was there. It's true. When Brother Bosworth, he was challenged when they were calling the discernment telepathy. Their Brother Branham did not want to present himself there, but when he went, God defend him, and there was that picture with the pillar of fire. The fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit in this last age, in this Laodicean age, the bride of Jesus Christ received it, and he has to receive it again. Here is the letter rain, the first and the letter, the first and letter rain. God will confirm His word in His bride. That what will take place, God will do it. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stone, the dust, and licked up the water that it was in trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Hallelujah. What we say, we said on Sunday, where is the God of Elijah? May God grant us grace. And may it touch our heart for us to understand that He's saying the message of restoration, the word of restoration. If we die, He will resurrect us. But if we don't die, we will still live by ourselves. It's difficult to live and to live with God. Who do we want to serve, God or Balaam? Today is the same question. The same question is asked. Justification and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Even if there was Azusa Street, but they were still in confusion. There was no clarity. But then God put everything in their place. There was a 28 February 1963. There was an Elijah of 33. When the 17th person was being baptized, and the light was over him, saying, "Lift up your high." We have confirmation, and we cannot deny it, because we received the visitation from above. Hallelujah. The seven seals were opened without any problem. It was not in vain that the Lord came down on the cloud of glory and spoke. For long enough the word had been rendered without power. For long enough the word had been rendered without power. Do you believe in this word? May God grant us strength and the right anointment to each one of us to realize that the word today has power in it. God has to quicken this word in us as He is alive. It is again sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates and separates. Hallelujah. Just think of the sword. Which is not sharp. If you touch it, you won't hurt yourself. But if you make it sharp, and if you touch it, you hurt yourself. During the ages, the sword was not well sharped, but God today is sharpened it. If we touch it, we hurt ourselves today, because the word of God penetrates, as is written in Hebrews 4:12, separating, and he has to hurt us. If he's not hurting us, that means the word is not sharp. For this reason, it's not touching people, but the word of God must touch the heart, must enter in, must penetrate and touch something. If it does not touch something, that means that there's something wrong. There's no life. There's no strength. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? May God bless us. It penetrates and separates. When the word of God is preached, if it's preached under the anointment of the Holy Spirit, if it's preached in the truth, I guarantee you that he has to touch, he has to hurt someone, and you have to say, glory, God, glory to be given to God. He has to touch, and that was the message did. For this reason, many don't accept it because it hurts them. For this reason, they are still a little bit Roman with the spirit of Rome, and there is not a fool coming out. But as we read, they are overcomers, those who win. And I believe that with all my heart. Still today, the word is powerful, and because it's anointed and is revealed, and God wants this word to be like this till the end. There won't be another service. There won't be another Elijah, another message. This is the holy message. May God open our heart and grant us grace. I've come into this world for judgment, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. John 9:39. Do you believe that? Do you see the shepherd short? Let us read it. John 9:39. Hallelujah. John chapter 9. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see not my see, and that they which see might be made blind. Have you understood it? The parallelism. Being anchored with Rome, we have difficulty to see. We cannot see. But if we remove that position, we remove those roots, we can see what God is doing now. He's doing now, and what he's doing in your life. For us to be transformed day after day in his likeness. I believe this with all my heart. And he will present to himself a bride without spot, wrinkle, and blameless, a saint bride. What a blessing, my friend. Let's see what he says here. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard this word, and said unto him, are we blind also? Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, be careful to this word. Pay attention. If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. For this reason, a man cannot come to the truth because he's blind. If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Hallelujah. May God help us and grant us grace. These words are precise. John 9:3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works. Hallelujah. May the Lord grant us grace. Even me before, Catholic, from the Catholic Church, I was not seeing, but today I see because God grant me grace. We can see the light, we can see the word of God clearly. Neither had this man seen, nor his parent, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Elect before the foundation of the world, foreknown for you and me today to see. Now I have glasses. Without glasses, for me it's hard to see. If the message which came gives me not the glasses, I cannot see. The message brought a word for each believer to live according to the word of God, for our eyes to be open and to see. Otherwise, we won't see. For this reason, God restored this. There was another minister, to come and to complete the work of God in this age. Hallelujah. I need a glass to see, to read. Otherwise, I cannot read. I read the Bible, but I read it in the Pentecostal way or in the Baptist way, maybe in a Roman Catholic way. I can read it in a different way, but if I put the right glasses, hallelujah. I have the glasses of the message, then I see it well. May God bless us and help us. Let us read another passage of the scripture. John 15:24. This is another important passage. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had seen. Glory to God. I do not know how to explain it. Oral Roberts, Tommy Osborne, many servants of God, Billy Graham, they all have seen wonders and signs. To whom did they attribute or give those signs and wonders? To a man or to a God? Billy Graham himself could say, if I go and preach in the city, there are millions of people believe, but after a year when I go back, they're just one person. Many people accusing Brother Frank, but truly, who brought the message in all the world? Who preached the message? In America, they were blocked, or they did not know how to do or what to do. But there was a ministry which God has established since the beginning for him to bring this message or this word in all the world. If I had not done among them the work which none other man did, they had not had seen. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. In Psalm 35, verse 19, you can read that. Hated without a cause and crucified. Miracles were done for the many things are showing us that there is just one biblical truth, and in the last ages they could not see it. I wrote down here, if we see the Pope without his dress, wear his mantle, or if we see if God could give us the spiritual eye to see the Pope the way it is, because many are not seeing with those spiritual way. If we remove that dress, that religious dress which he has, may God help us to see with his eyes. I'd like to read another scripture in Jeremiah. Let us read the last passage. May God bless our heart. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire, said the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Is not my word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? May God bless us. And we stop here. Next Thursday we continue from here. Then continue the only person who can speak now is the Pope, and all other people has the right to be silent. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us stop here. May God bless us and bless our heart. May God grant us grace and strength to continue this path of life. Those are deep declaration. Do you feel the presence of God which comes in our midst and blesses our heart? Is the truth, because the truth set us free. Otherwise we cannot be free. Many churches or Catholic Church, they hide these deep things. For this reason, today God gives us freedom and he grants us grace. Amen. Who has in his heart to thank the Lord? Who want to pray? Who feels in his heart to pray? Is there someone? Almighty Father, we thank you with all our heart for all you did for us and you still doing. You reveal your word to us, and we want to be obedient in all things, and we seeking for that sanctification, for you to lead us. You show us when you came on earth, you've been tempted, but you overcame all things, and the devil had to bow before you because you were answering by your blessed word. And you revealed this word to us today, this two-edged sword which separate and penetrate. We want to purify ourselves, Lord. You want your word day after day to penetrate in our heart and in our lives. For all kind of sins to be removed and cut. We thank you once more for tonight, for the way you spoke, and to have opened our eyes to see what you did in this century. You are still the Lord, yesterday, today, and forever. You are still the same. We thank you for your word from Genesis to Revelation. Continue to work in your church for it to reach the perfect stature and for the day to be shortened, because we want you to come soon and to bring us home. And meanwhile, help us for us to announce your word, this word which purify and bless, this word which is perfect. We want to conform ourselves to this word and to put you above, to lift you up above all things. Our lives without you, it will be just as a dust and nothing. We thank you once more, and we ask you at the end of this day to bless our heart. For us, when we be in our beds, to meditate your word. To make manifest your word alive in us. Bless your church. Help us and give us your leadership. Help your people. Bless Brother Franco. Bless all things. All those who call upon your name. We remember also people of Israel. Grant us all things in the saint name and precious of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.